patience into Joel Farabee. Farabee will fire, the save, it bounces high, and a whistle stops play. A whistle stops play, the referee lost sight of the puck. It was in the air, lands near the net, put in, but the referee, I believe it was Kelly Sutherland, lost sight and blew it dead early.
Scramble, face off, comes back, quick shot,
empty net for the Flyers, extra attacker out, and Oshie with a chance to put it away will do just that. The other game has gone to overtime, won't matter for the Flyers, but for the Capitals, that's a huge goal as they take a 2-1 lead and they are 3 minutes away from a playoff berth.
Well, clearly on the Flyers bench, they don't know that Detroit has tied it. And then none of this matters for the Flyers at this point.
Yeah, clearly. Hey, can someone get John Tortorella a dang iPad? Sweet sassy molassie. Can someone get Kelly Sutherland some glasses? Can someone get the officials in the Red Wings game some damn common sense? Look, we talked about it yesterday. The Penguins made their bed, and so they have to sleep in it. And we're going to talk chapter and verse today about what happened this year, what went wrong. We'll do the autopsy. We'll look forward into the offseason, what needs to happen for this team to, my gosh, at bare minimum, get back to the playoffs again. The culpability falls on the Penguins. But make no mistake about it, the Penguins did get screwed last night. They did. In Philadelphia, a goal gets waved off because Kelly Sutherland can't see. Puck pops right up in the air. It falls. It hits a Flyers player. It winds up in the back of the net. But there's an inadvertent whistle because the official didn't see the puck. At the end of the Red Wings game. Of course David Perron ties it. Former Penguin. Tiny douche. Sorry, David. He ties the game with 3 seconds left. That face-off never should have happened. There was an icing that they did not call an icing. The clock would have bled out. The referees call icing, face-off in the offensive zone, as they say in hockey, Doran. The Red Wings win it. Puck goes into the back of the net. And then finally, the last way the Penguins got screwed last night is the one we started with. John Tortorella never needed to pull the goalie.
No.
The Capitals score the game-winning goal because the goaltenders pull with 3 minutes to go. The Flyers could have just played it straight. They weren't playing for anything anymore. So why not play the thing straight? See if it goes to overtime. Play your 3-on-3, have your shootout. Just play the game out.
They weren't playing for anything anymore at what point? Like, cause so I can get this all in my mind straight. At what point?
They found out, they should have found out, because we found out on the broadcast, and I was watching both games simultaneously.
So, 3 minutes?
Yeah, they knew, they would have known for about 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Into the, with the third period?
Yes, that the game was going to be meaningless.
Do you think that there that is being relayed?
I don't think that it was relayed. If it was relayed, I think John Tortorella does not pull the goaltender. I don't think it was relayed. And I think that was probably a choice they made before the game. Like, hey, we're probably not going to show the score in the arena. We don't want to know one way or the other from upstairs that that has happened. We're just going to play the game knowing we need to win it in regulation. I'm guessing it was predetermined. I didn't listen to John Tortorella's post game. That would be my educated guess. But a bunch of weird stuff happened, man. The lack of an icing that should have been called, the icing that should have been not an icing. The bad call in the Flyers game. And then just the decision for John Tortorella not to pay attention to the real world, not to use technology. All those things ultimately wound up costing the Penguins, but the Penguins put themselves in a position where they needed these things not to happen.
Yeah, and these things, I mean, two out of the three things that happened within the last, 3-4 minutes of each game? right? I mean, I'm watching, I'm following them both on my phone. I'm scoreboard watching hard and just kind of my heart is pounding a little bit. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? And it's kind of looking like it might be all right.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, the time's dwindling down and all of a sudden the thing pops up and says like the Capitals score. Then it says, you know, then it goes into overtime and you're just like, what just happened?
What just happened
in a second?
Like that.
Like it was just like, it was almost like fate.
The final two periods of the Capitals-Flyers game, I thought the Flyers were significantly the better team. The second period, the Flyers really played good hockey. Gag. Makes me want to gag just saying that. Rooting for the Flyers last night. They don't even come through. That was the worst case scenario. I spent 2.5 hours rooting for the hated Flyers. Rooting for them. Pulling for them. Cheering for Coots. Cheering for Tortorella. And then they wind up not coming through for the Penguins because of a bizarre end of game circumstance. And it did all happen within 5 minutes.
Right.
And right around that time, Jared Jones gets pulled and everything blows up for the Pirates.
Yes.
And it's one of the worst sports nights that I can remember. And the reason why it sucks so bad, boys, I'm wearing a Sidney Crosby jersey today. Because you just wanted to see him make the playoffs. 92 points. Dragged this team back into relevancy at the end of the season. He was good wire to wire all year long. We can talk and we will talk about all the different reasons why this season came undone and why they left it in the hands of the officials, why they left it in the hands of John Tortorella last night. One thing we're not going to say is that it was Sidney Crosby's fault. None of this was his fault. And all I wanted to see was two more weeks of him and where he could take it.
Yeah.
That's the shame of all of it, man.
It really is. And I was laying there last night, and I was just like, I remembered maybe about 2 months ago, I made the comparison of the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Golden State Warriors. And I laid there last night, and I thought to myself, I never thought I'd see the day whenever Sidney Crosby and Steph Curry are not in the playoffs.
Ugh.
And I reverted back to what we've been talking about. The games that you needed to win, that you should have won, that you didn't win.
Starkey brought one up yesterday that I didn't bring up in the first segment of our show yesterday. I went through like 12 games,
yeah,
where they totally screwed the pooch. One I didn't include was trade deadline night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes.
They lost 6-0 to the Washington, yes, Capitals. After the game, Letang basically eviscerated the team, saying we didn't show up, we didn't compete, we didn't play hard. The last time we saw the Penguins play Washington, they beat them in Washington.
Uh-huh.
If you play hard, who knows what happens? You didn't even give yourself a chance. And it's one thing, and it's not a good thing. It's not a defensible thing, but it's one thing to blow leads when you are trying and you just suck.
Right.
It's another thing entirely to not give yourself a chance because you don't show up.
Right.
And they didn't show up the night that Jake Guentzel was traded. And you're probably going to finish a point out of the playoffs.
Unreal.
For the
Unreal.
Second consecutive year.
Unreal. Unreal. Just wasting time is how I see it. You're just wasting time of a great player. You're wasting time. Like I think it may have been Pomp last night put out the stat that all of them played every single game.
Carlson was healthy all year. Malkin was healthy all year. Crosby was healthy all year. Letang was healthy all year.
That's a shame.
It is. It's a calamity, Doran.
That's a shame. I'm a sore.
It's what happened. There's going to be a lot of that today. Callis, get those sausage fingers ready, baby. Hover those things over the dump button.
I probably didn't.
Hey, he turned my mic off there. You know what? I own that one. I deserve it. There was no need to call his digits into question. just have those fingers hovering over the dump button today, Callis, because we are on one. Last year, the same thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole top six missed like 4 combined games. And so the great sin here, 2 of them for me. One, you showed the last 2 weeks that when you play young guys, and when you want to, you can be a very good hockey team. Not a cup contender, but a good enough hockey team that if you had played this way more often than not, you make the playoffs. That is frustrating because the roster was good enough. Mm-hmm. They just showed it to make the playoffs. But you're only going to be able to play so hard when you're this old so often. So the other great sin is the roster construction in the bottom six the last few years has been abysmal. The Jansen Harkins of the world, the Noel Acciaris of the world, Jeff Carter giving him that contract, and this now spans multiple general managers, not having Tanev, not having McCann. Young guys with speed, with grit, and in McCann's case, with a propensity to score goals. I think about Evan Rodriguez not being here
Matheson.
Even. Matheson, who last night was all over the ice for Detroit. You had good players that, yeah, I know there was the expansion draft. You could have kept some of these good players. The roster management the last few off seasons has been disastrous. Again, I'll say it. Their roster was good enough to make the playoffs. They proved it these last 2 weeks. But forget about the power play just for a second. Forget about blowing the leads just for a second. A problem that was a carryover from last year was you just did not get the requisite scoring punch from the bottom six. Now, Malkin wasn't good for a large stretch this year, no doubt. But Crosby, Letang, and then later Gino, and then even later Carlson, they all played reasonably well enough, 5-on-5, that this team should have got in. Because when you've got those three and those four guys, it shouldn't be that hard to build a bottom six around them and a cast of characters that can help. So what happens next? I guess that's where we go next at 412-928-9370. The theme of today's show is going to be what happens now. And we'll start right here. Do you fire the head coach? 412-928-9370. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Stenner and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can call us again, 412-928-9370, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Penguins have been eliminated from playoff contention, and we are bummed out about it. This will only be the second game tonight in Sidney Crosby's career since 2007 that he plays a meaningless hockey game. I read somewhere Derek Jeter played one game his entire career where the Yankees were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That is insane.
Crazy.
The Steelers only have one such game since 2007 as well. It was either 12 or 13, one of those 8-8 seasons where they were mathematically eliminated before the final game of the regular season. And hey, look, this was fun the last couple of weeks. It really was. This is the most I've enjoyed Penguins hockey going back to that playoff series 2 years ago against the Rangers. This was fun again. They made us believe. That's not the end goal, though. The end goal, bare minimum, you got to make the playoffs. And they didn't. And it's now the second straight year they haven't made the playoffs. The second straight really good Sidney Crosby year that they haven't made the playoffs. The second straight year where you have your good players stay healthy that they haven't made the playoffs. And so that begs an obvious question, and we'll do it today. Today is the day to do it. It's autopsy day, and then it's move forward day. So the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. I'll throw it out to you people right now. Should the Penguins fire Mike Sullivan? 412-928-9370. And now I will turn it over to my co-host, Doran Dickerson. Should the Pirates have pulled Jared Jones last night? Should the Penguins fire Mike Sullivan, Doran?
I think that he has brought a lot of good to this city. And, championships, contending, has done well throughout his head coaching career. But 2 years in a row, you missed the playoffs with Sidney Crosby. Not only Sidney Crosby playing at his heights and playing at the level he played this year, but staying healthy last year and this year. And having Malkin stay healthy, having Letang stay healthy, having Carlson that you acquired in the offseason stay healthy. I think that the message has fallen on deaf ears. I really do. I think that the system the way that he sees them playing isn't jiving with the way that in the style that they're willing to play at this point. So in my mind, you got to pick and choose. Like, do you want Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Karlsson? And do you see them having enough left in the tank moving forward? Or do you want to do this again? Do you want to do this again? Because that's what you're setting yourself up to do.
Yes, it is.
If you don't make a decision. Now, I'm not here to fire people. I'm really not. Like, that's just not my MO. But you got to call a spade at some point. And you got to pick. Do you want the same results? Do you want the same results? Now it's two different GMs. Well, I mean three, but yeah. Two different GMs.
Yeah.
Two different GMs this happened to.
You ain't getting rid of Dubas after
is it
9 months.
Okay, so you wanna blame Hextall and Burke. Okay. You could be scapegoats. You wanna blame the situation with Rutherford? Okay, he could be a scapegoat. Okay. Is it Crosby's fault?
Nope.
Malkin looked a little old, but, you know, he found something, Bunting get on his line. That's all well and good.
He's also not the same player at
right.
half the cost
right.
of
at
what
half.
He used to be.
Letang, pretty solid all year. Mm-hmm. Karlsson came on at the end. He would have loved, you know, for a full duration of the season. So where does the finger pointing go? You're gonna point it to Dubas, who's in his first year?
Nope.
Who just acquired, or just traded for Bunting, which is, probably the huge bright spot outside of Crosby.
Yeah, looks like a good move.
And Ned. Yeah, right. So where's the finger pointing go? It has to go somewhere.
What does it for me, Doran, and you're right, I don't like this part of the job, but it is our job. We talk into microphones and we shape opinions and we give our opinions. I think you got to move on. In fact, I know you have to move on. They haven't won a playoff series since 2018, and you've had Sidney Crosby be healthy really since then. That is unacceptable. The roster hasn't been good enough, but we just saw for 2 weeks that they can play at a higher level. We've also seen the same mistakes rear their ugly head the last 2 years.
Yep.
There was a time where if the Penguins had the lead for two periods under Mike Sullivan, they didn't lose. Now you never expect them to win. Last year, the power play was average, and that was disgraceful with the talent they had at their disposal. This year, the statistics, the eye test tell you that the power play was disgraceful, and that can't happen. It was a sticking point. It was one of the worst parts about last year's team, maybe the principal reason why they didn't make the playoffs, and it was worse this year. That falls on the coach. Last year, they blew a lot of leads. They've done the same thing this year. You're repeating the same mistakes. That's on the coach. Overtime. They don't even practice the 3-on-3.
No.
It's another reason they missed the playoffs by a measly point last year, and they were horrendous in overtime this season. The things they were bad at last year, in some cases, they got worse at this year. That's all on the head coach. Todd Reirden, I'm sorry. You're a very nice man. It's an accountability world. Professional sports, it's all about accountability. You gots to go. Mike Sullivan, you gots to go. And I will be forever, eternally grateful to Mike Sullivan for punching life back into these Penguins in 16 and 17 when that team was petulant and arrogant and he said, shut the hell up, just play, and they did. That guy's a Penguin Ring of Honor dude, one of the great American coaches, frankly, ever, and maybe one day he gets into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Mike Sullivan's a hell of a coach. Not here anymore. It doesn't work anymore. When Mike Tomlin doesn't win playoff games, everyone wants his ass gone. And that's the way it is. That's the way it should be. Mike Sullivan ain't been winning playoff games, man. And now he hadn't been going to the playoffs. I said when they lost to the Capitals in 2018, I remember going on my radio show the very next day, and Mike Sullivan, the Penguins posted a graphic in a statement from Sullivan talking about how he loved the last 2+ years. They won 9 straight playoff series. Mm. And he just wanted to thank the people of Pittsburgh, and he said, I will have a Guinness and a cigar on my back patio, and I'll think about what we've accomplished. And I said that very day, there will be a time when Mike Sullivan gets fired. That's the way it works in sports. That's especially the way it works in hockey.
Yep.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That's that Batman quote.
Yep.
That's where we are right now.
It is.
Mike Sullivan was a hero, deserves the praise, deserves the recognition, should be welcomed back down the road with open arms, and he should be honored on anniversaries, and people should think ultimately fondly of that man.
but we have reached the expiration date on Mike Sullivan. 412-928-9370. Phone callers want to chime in. We'll talk to you about Mike Sullivan coming up next. And also, what do you do with this roster this offseason? Who do you move? Do you trade Jari? Do you try to find a dance partner for Carlson? Can you find a taker for Ryan Graves? Oh my God, there's so many questions. And we'll talk about them coming up next. Fire Mike Sullivan, question mark? 412-928-9370. Dorn and I both say yes. Here's another reason why. The Capitals have a negative 37 goal differential. I saw a stat on ESPN here in the studio. That's the worst to ever make the playoffs.
Yep.
Or at least in modern times, right? The worst to make the playoffs. They suck. I watched them the other night against Boston. Boston didn't want to be there. And the Capitals still had to get blood from a stone. They're not good.
No.
I don't think the Islanders are good. I've watched the Red Wings now so much these last couple of weeks. They're not good either.
They better than the Penguins?
I don't think any of those teams are better than the Penguins.
I think they're all the same.
They're all, yeah, put a blanket over them.
And one just was unlucky.
Well, look, the Penguins made their bed, like we said. Penguins don't deserve
to
be in.
Right.
Like, they didn't get in, so they don't deserve to be in. The teams that make it, I always believe this, the teams that make it are the ones that are the most deserving. We're not talking about small sample size here. We're talking about an 82-game season. And we know what you need to do to make the playoffs. It's not like the college football playoff. It's not like the NCAA tournament. We know what you got to do. Have more points than the other teams. And then there's tiebreaker procedures. If you do it over 82, you deserve to get in. It's just a shame because I think the Penguins would have given the Rangers much more of a fight than these Capitals will. These Capitals are the worst scoring team in the Eastern Conference. And you can't make the playoffs over that team. You can't make the playoffs over a Red Wings team that needed to go two straight games against the lowly Habs to overtime. They were down 3-1 in this game. They were down 4-1 in the last game. Look, full points go for stick-to-itiveness and for want-to and for never giving up. But for God's sakes, those are must-win games, and they're going to overtime with Montreal. So it's just salt in the wound for me. The Flyers aren't good. None of these teams are good. And the Penguins had every opportunity this year to get into the playoffs. And it's a shame. So, yeah, we say move on from Mike Sullivan. What say you? 412-928-9370. We had a couple of callers on hold. They dropped off during the break. So if you want to call up, you can. The other question is, and there's a bunch of them here, what happens now? Like with the roster, who do you move? What do you do with the roster this offseason? They're not going to move Crosby. He's going to sign on the dotted line July 1st.
July, yeah.
That's going to happen. They're not moving on from Malkin. They're not moving on from Letang. Those are guys, they're just not going to ask him to waive their no-move clauses. It's not going to happen. Carlson was named a part of the core four by Dubas at the deadline. I'm not so sure that's a fait accompli, though, that he's going to be here for next year. I think you at least explore things with him.
I mean, take this a little bit with a grain of salt, but if you're a new GM in all sports, you do want to be attached to something. I mean, we were talking business-wise before the show about how people, you know, that are in the upper roles and supervisor roles that bring in their own regime and they stick to that regime. I think that Dubas sees himself almost, hey, I made this move to get Carlson. I'm going to make sure I see it through.
Yeah.
So I see Carlson being here.
I would explore it. And there have been some rumors out there, founded or unfounded, that Ottawa might be interested in bringing him back to kind of go back to the future. I would absolutely consider it. There's some good free agents out there. The Penguins are going to have $15 million in cap space. The salary cap reportedly going to go up to near $88 million. The Penguins, I looked on SpotTrack, they are going to be tied up for $73 million. So you got some room, a lot more room than you're used to having in these recent Penguins off seasons. You could create more by moving Carlson. I will say this about Eric, though. He got much better at the end of the year, and sometimes it takes time for defensemen to get used to system, to get used to their partner.
Especially the way he plays.
I mean, there's a lot that he does. It's like playing with Troy Polamalu.
Yes.
You need to be on the same page. And it's hard to just get dropped in and do that. So I can see that one both ways. I would explore it. I'd love to get Ryan Graves off the roster. You're paying him way too much for way too long. And you just saw what you can get from youth. You got Shea and St. Ivany, who played on your bottom pair and were basically revelatory.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word?
Yeah, sure.
They were awesome. They played simple hockey. They got in shooting lanes. They held on to pucks. They moved it smartly. And they cost nothing. Shea is an RFA at the end of the year, but you're not going to have to pay him a lot of money to keep him around. I would regularly say things in the past like, this contract's untradeable. You can't move XYZ. I don't buy that with anybody anymore.
Isn't Carter off the books too?
Carter's off the books.
So what is that?
Three and a quarter. Three and a quarter. So that'll help. So you're going to have $15 million in cap space. You cut some of the dead weight. My hope is you augment the roster with the money you do have to spend, and then you play young guys. You need to play young guys.
I feel like you need a different coach to play those young guys the right way, though.
I'm with you.
With the old guy style, too. Like, that's why, like, I would keep Carlson. I would keep the four.
Mm-hmm.
But play and have those young guys be infused a part of it. Bunting, I mean, being a
Drew
very
O'Connor
good.
Drew O'Connor should be on the first line.
Should be on the first
to
line.
To start next season.
But I feel like you need the voice to be a different voice.
Well said, because Mike Sullivan, while he kept the team in it, I will give him that. Doesn't get me a lot of points. While he kept the team in it, he also only played the young guys out of necessity.
Yes.
Necessity is the mother of invention. He did not want to play St. Ivany. He did not want to play Shea, but Ryan Graves got hurt. He did not want to have to play some of these young guys in the bottom six, but Achari got hurt. And Jansen Harkins got hurt. In 16 and 17, when they won the Stanley Cup, young guys were part of it. Brian Rust, Tom Kuhnhackl, Connor Sherry, and in 2017, Jake Guentzel. They infused youth. Sullivan seems loath to do that now unless he's forced to do it. And by trading Jake Guentzel, he was left no choice but to move O'Connor up in the lineup. They didn't have options. He's left no choice to do something like that. I do think, I was going to say earlier, Dorian, anybody's movable. No trade clauses aside, anybody's movable. We saw what they did last offseason. Jeff Petrie out. That stupid guy that they traded for from Nashville, whose name is now escaping me. He was so bad. Granlund. They traded his ass. They moved off from a third-pairing defenseman, the guy from Tampa. Jan Ruda. All these things are coming to me very slowly. I've been...
Maybe you got it, though.
We finally got it. You can move anybody. They literally sent out all their bad contracts to get Erik Karlsson back. So, I think everything's on the table. One guy for sure that I'm not just calling around on, I'm actively pushing to get out of here, is Tristan Jarry.
Yes.
5 and change for the next 4 years following this one. Can't wait till he gets his ceremonial start tonight. Mike Sullivan will throw him out there in the meaningless game. You can't win Jack with this guy. A fair enough regular season goaltender always comes up small in the big moments. See you later.
Yep.
As for Ned, he'd be my backup.
Backup, yep.
He'd be my backup.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a starting goaltender for next year, and it can't freaking be Tristan Jarry. You said you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again with Sullivan. You can't keep doing it with Jarry either.
Nope.
We'll get way more into this coming up at 7:35. Where do the Penguins go from here with the coach? Where do they go with the roster? We'll get back into it coming up at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. But coming up next, two main stories from last night's Pirates game. One, Jared Jones got yanked early, and that'll be the subject of a ton of debate. We'll talk about that at 7. But up next, the bigger story for me, actually, it's not as hot of a story, it's not as hot of a debate topic. The bigger story to me is this guy's freaking good. Like, really, really, really good. And we'll talk about just how good he is. There are some statistics to back that up coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We are going to debate in 9 minutes whether or not Derek Shelton and the Pirates really made the right decision to pull Jared Jones when they did from that game last night. That is a massive story. We'll get back into the Penguins at 7:35, but I think even the bigger story, it won't be as much fun to talk about. The bigger story for me is Jared Jones is, well, as the kids say, Doran him. We're talking about 5 innings, 1 hit, 7 Ks, no earned runs, 50 strikes out of 59 pitches. He's got 32 strikeouts. His first 4 career starts, only 9 players have ever done that before.
Huh.
We've been all looking forward to Skeens. They've got the potential of a 1-2 punch that might be the envy of all of baseball, not just because of the arms, but because of the cost. And we're talking about for the next 6-7 years, you could have Jones and Skeens, and they'll get into arbitration later in that time frame. But you think about the Dodgers, you think about the Yankees, you think about all the great teams in baseball, what they have to pay to get that caliber of starting pitching. This is unbelievable. The guy's a phenom, Doran.
Well, that's exactly why they've told us the window is kind of now. I mean, you know, waiting for guys like that. But, I mean, you want to bring guys slow, along slow, and that's what we'll talk about in a little bit. But you didn't expect – I'm sure you didn't expect this start from Jared Jones. And then now – You're gonna be set up where you're paying a guy a lot of money to be your ace that doesn't have to be your ace, that wouldn't be an ace on another team.
Great point.
He wouldn't be an ace. I mean, we talk about this a lot. He wouldn't be an ace on another team. He'd be a 2 or 3. Now you're thinking heading into this year, and knowing that Paul Skeens is gonna be a guy, you're thinking, okay, Keller will be a number 2, like, which he kind of naturally is, and that's, you know, we pay him to be our ace, but he'll be our 2 ace. And then now it's like, wow.
It's why I agreed with their decision yesterday, and we'll get into it more full form coming up at 7 o'clock. I don't want this guy to have to get shut down the stretch.
Yes.
I don't want Paul Skeens to get shut down the stretch because, buddy, I can see a reality where you throw Jared Jones game 1 of a playoff series, you throw Paul Skeens game 2 and Mitch Keller game 3 in, you can compete with anybody.
Yeah.
In experience, fine. Keller in his first would-be playoff, apparently. I understand all that, but just from a pure stuff perspective, those 3 arms, I'll take my chances.
No doubt.
Now, the counter-argument will be, games like yesterday, if you pull Jones, if you later on in the year pull Skeens, you give games away, maybe you won't be performing in the postseason.
Right.
So we'll get to all that coming up next, and we do want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Do you agree with the Pirates' decision of pulling Jared Jones, excuse me, after just 59 pitches in 5 innings yesterday? 412-928-9370, that is the phone number. You can weigh in, you can argue with us, or at least argue with me about this whole Jared Jones thing. 412-928-9370. Quickly, before I forget here, we're finally putting our voices to good use, boys. The Fan 5 Alarm Marathon will take place on June 6th and 7th as we raise funds for dozens of local volunteer fire departments. We'll broadcast live for over 26 hours from the Green Tree VFD. We definitely want you to come out, support the great cause. To register your local VFD, go to 937thefan.com. The Fan 5 Alarm Marathon is presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union and brought to you by Guardian Protection Services and ABC Fire Extinguishers. We'll talk about Jared Jones next at 412-928-9370. First Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com.